is KGMI Connects with Joe Tian, a live local show about our community and you on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and KGMI.com.
Well, here we are for another week of intriguing and thought-provoking conversation. And it's all because of you and your ideas that you bring here to KGMI Connects. 360-676-5464 is our phone number. Once again, 360-676-5464. I heard Dennis Prager's last segment. He was talking about the iconic photo of the sailor kissing the nurse on the street of Manhattan just after the surrender of Japanese forces was announced. And I can understand the euphoria, but we're kind of in an age where we're excited, we're happy, but does that mean you just grab someone and kiss them? I mean would you do that on you get good news, you're walking down the street, you get some good news, and just grab a woman and kiss her if you're a man, or vice versa for that matter? I mean, who's to determine what is a gleeful enough moment to allow you to take that kind of advantage of a person? I'm not saying that the photo should be banned or hidden away or taken away. It's a part of history, obviously. But I don't know, do you display that around on military facilities to say, this is how you act? Hey, when we win, this is what we do. Better than a high five, it's... all right. Well, just my thoughts there. Just to get it rolling here, the show is not about my thoughts, it's about yours. And our phone number, 360-676-5464. Well, let's start with our friend Majid in Bellingham today. Hi, Majid.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing today?
I'm doing super. How are
you? You know what Dennis Prager says? He's an idiot sometimes.
Okay.
No, really.
Well,
how can you do that? That's assault. They're going to slap you so hard.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, times change, norms change, and it's one thing to be joyous and happy, but to just do that to someone.
No way.
Okay.
No way.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
You cannot do that.
Right.
And then...
I mean, you never know that the significant other might be right there and you get a beating for it. So who knows?
Yeah.
It might just
be. You get slapped in the face.
Yep.
And then they take you to court. They're going to get you for millions of dollars.
Sure. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, look at what happened to the soccer. Was
Don't
it the soccer? The FIFA guy. Who kissed the player from Spain? Wasn't she from the Spain's team?
Yeah,
and just kissed her after they won the World Cup, and he got lost his
he
job for good reason. I mean, what?
He
how ridiculous,
it.
You know?
Yeah, All you right. cannot do that these days. You cannot even touch them by their if you don't get permission.
Well, I think that's fair. I mean,
yes.
Do you want people touching you just
Woman
because they're
have rights these days? My wife has a right.
Right. Well, and you
as an
autonomous person, you have every right of protection
every
as well.
Every right.
All right.
Every person has a right. Doesn't matter man or woman.
Okay.
Or a child.
Yeah, especially a child. But absolutely.
Yes.
All right.
They call you a molester.
Okay. All right. Well, did you have something else on mind? Okay.
Yeah. I called my cousins in California. They say if Trump needs money, we got billions right here.
Okay.
He doesn't need to put collateral.
Okay. Who's?
Yeah, they want him in the office.
Very
bad. I want him in the office badly.
Okay. Would you give him money?
I don't have that kind of money.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But I got people, I got friends, I got cousins, like I said. They got a lot of money in California, in Beverly Hills. They own a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
They are singers, they are dancers. Yes.
Okay.
They're all my friends. I went to school with them in the 60s.
Okay.
They're billionaires.
Wow.
They said, if he wants money, we got it right here. I said, well, why don't you call him and tell him that? Because I can't call him.
I don't know. Maybe they'll take your call.
He doesn't need it. No, he doesn't. He's got it.
Okay.
He's got it. He wants to negotiate. He wants to bring the rate down.
Well, he got it
down to 150 or 70.
175 million, yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But I would negotiate more. I'll bring it down to 100.
Okay. All right.
Yes. It's negotiation, you know. He's a businessman.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He will do everything he can to negotiate. Remember, you always negotiate real estate or any court, anything. You negotiate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's how it is. America is all about that.
Well, yeah, until you get into Congress and all that. There's not much negotiation going on there, but yeah.
Well, even Congress.
Well, they should be, yeah. I would agree that it takes
everywhere
compromise.
Everywhere you go, America is negotiation.
All right. Okay, yes. Majid.
And another thing is I'm tired of all these scams going on with these phones, iPhones. Yeah. I called Iran. They're strapping me with $2,000 because I didn't call WhatsApp. Because the WhatsApp sometimes doesn't work in Iran. They turn off the stupid internet.
Uh-huh.
They get you on money. America gets you, Iranian gets you. They're both sides, you know, they're crooks.
That's all they want. They want your money.
Yeah. So I got to pay off $2,000 for 3 hours of talking to my cousin.
Well,
it's okay. I got it.
Right, I mean, but that goes to your cell company, right? They probably have that charge per minute charge.
Insurance or T-Mobile or Verizon. They're all crooks.
Okay.
They're all crooks.
All right. Well, just watch your clock then next time you're making those
watch
long distance.
Watch my back.
All right, Majid. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Majid getting us rolling here on this Monday. Let's go to Rod in Bellingham. Hi, Rod.
Hey. I have a mental course, or actually I want to take people on here to basically seek the truth through the make-believe.
Okay.
Okay, and for instance, you like movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I think most people do.
Mm-hmm.
And those that go to the movie a lot, we kind of understand the foreshadowing, Easter eggs, all these little wonderful things that they throw in the movies today. And we look at the facial expressions, we look at the typecasting for these particular individuals, these actors and actresses. Okay?
Okay.
When you look at somebody, if you see Robert De Niro or Al Pacino, you know, we've gotten so used to seeing those guys as mob bosses or whatever, but they have this certain look to them.
Uh-huh.
And certain people look like, you know, friendly guy next door. The others might be a Norman or something. Now, imagine, if you will, if we looked at our leaders, the politics, through the prism of the make-believe, if we were to look at them as actors and actresses in a movie, we would instantly and try to remove our own politics of the day. And I understand there's a little bit of hypocrisy that I throw into this conversation as well, because we often look at people and try to we might criticize somebody for something that we're guilty of, okay?
Uh-huh.
You've heard that, and we often point. Uh-huh. You know, when you point a finger at somebody, there's three pointing back at you.
Right,
so
right.
To speak,
uh-huh.
Okay? But imagine if we could to just look at the world events and then try to look at it as a movie. Would we feel the same way about these characters? Would we still defend them as we do? Would we defend them when we talk to our buddies about, how do you feel about the movie? What did you think about this? And we could talk about the politics that was within the movie, and that we wouldn't get all involved with our own politics, so people wouldn't start screaming and hollering or getting mad or pouting or whatever, but just look through it, looked at it through the prism of make-believe.
Okay.
And say, if I saw Joe Biden and he's stuttering and stammering, and they put this montage up and it's part of the movie, would I think of him more like the King of Rohan being controlled by the evil wizard of Saruman? Okay. Or would I look at him as, wow, that guy really exudes confidence and he looks like a hawk while he's sniffing somebody's hair? Or if we looked at the fabled orange man that we call the orange man, would we look at him in a movie as, well, he could portray a real evil, fat, rich guy, white rich guy, but he's orange, so we got to call him orange. Okay. Would we still look at those people in that way? Would we look at Hunter Biden?
Okay. All right.
You see what I'm saying?
I guess I see, but I mean.
And we might find the truth in that make believe world.
But when you think about it, a movie or a TV show or what have you, they present characters, and as the story develops, that those characters could take on a very, very different persona when we start to learn more about them or their motivations or what their character does. I mean, there are lots of mysteries or murder mysteries, for instance. They start you've got this person and or these people, and they're acting suspicious. They're doing something weird, and you get this idea that they are there's something off about them or even evil about them. And then later, all of a sudden, more evidence comes to light, and you realize that they know. This person is actually working for good, and your perception of them completely changes, and you trust that character. Well,
you're finding the truth, though.
But in that case, you're being led down that path. You're being told what about that character and what you should feel about that character.
What's the difference that we see today, Joe? And my point is like, what if we saw something like The Border in a movie, and we saw it unravel? See, the movies have an advantage in giving us an ending, if you will. Some are lazy, some are brilliant, and they intrigue us for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. But in reality here, when we look at all these characters, those that ride on the stump of, I'm going to get this guy, and we're going to stick it to him, and then it plays out. Or someone else's.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
So, you see what I'm saying?
Well, I guess.
Look at it, kind of devoid of our own personal politics, but look at it like a movie and try to figure out the foreshadowing. And I give what you say. You know, you can see the whole thing play out in a movie because that's the advantage they have. But look at our reality. How would we look at them?
Okay. All right. Well, all right. we'll see how that goes. But thanks for your call. Quick break, 360-676-5464. We'll continue with our reality in just a moment here on KG Mike and X.
Where do you go to find the best steakhouse between Seattle and Vancouver, BC? Northwest Washington's famed steakhouse at Silver Reef is the place for award-winning, unforgettable fine dining. Savor our Northwest-sourced, dry-aged USDA prime steaks, finished to perfection in our 1,800-degree broiler. Immerse yourself in world-class elegance. Browse our award-winning wine and spirit list, while our attentive staff help to create lasting memories. Reservations are recommended through SilverReefCasino.com or by calling Silver Reef Casino Resort.
At Silver Reef Casino Resort, we've got that. Escape the hustle and bustle of the city and get ready for a fun and relaxation-filled getaway. Luxury hotel rooms? Yep. Championship golf? Mm-hmm. Top-rated casino with all the best slots and table games? Yes and yes. World-class dining at the region's best and Wine Spectator award-winning steakhouse? Yes, please. The total package is only missing one thing. You. Silver Reef Casino Resort. Located off I-5, exit 260. We've got that.
P&W Perks is helping you feel your best this Thursday at 8 a.m. You can get a $50 gift certificate to Max Hair Studios for just $25 at pnwperks.com. Transform your hair and elevate your style at Max Hair Studios inside the Bellis Fair Mall. Known for its exceptional services, skilled stylists, and commitment to delivering personalized experiences, Max Hair Studios is where excellence meets innovation in hair care. From precision haircuts to vibrant coloring and rejuvenating treatments, they offer a wide range of services to enhance your natural beauty. By using only the best products that nourish and protect your hair, you can count on long-lasting results. Max Hair Studios has received awards and certifications for their outstanding services, reflecting their dedication to excellence. Experience the difference at Max Hair Studios, located in the Kohl's Wing at Bellis Fair Mall. Indulge in self-care with Max Hair Studios and P&W Perks this Thursday at 8 a.m. Get a $50 gift certificate for just $25, only at pnwperks.com.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Great to have you with us here on this Monday. Let's go to another Rod in Linden this time. Hi, Rod.
Hi, Joe. Hey, I wanted to talk about Finland, but I want to bring up Sweden first.
Okay.
Now, Sweden, they're, you know, they are the kind of the held up as the socialist country over there, and so is Finland and others over there. And they've had an open border policy, open migration policy for years, and recently it's come to a real serious issue over there with all the bombings and shootings in Sweden. Well, what's happening is gangs are being sent over to Sweden from the Middle East and Africa, and they are being the guys that are doing the crimes there are being controlled by these bosses in other countries, and it's becoming such a serious problem now. And Finland was named 7th year in a row as the happiest country in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we have dropped from number 15. Up to number 23 now in the last 2 years. Now, and that's due to the younger generation is not happy in our country. Now, what's happening in Finland now is they're tightening up their immigration. And because most of the immigrants came from Africa and the Middle East. And now they're starting, and they've already depleted the finances and whatnot they can take from their own communities. And now they're moving out and attacking, killing, robbing, raping is a high issue there. 25% of the rapes are migrants responsible for them.
All right.
Now,
well, the statistics don't show the same crime rates among immigrant communities here in the United States, however. And so that's, I don't know how that's relevant to what we're talking about here. But are you implying, I guess, that it's that the younger generation they're unhappy because of immigration?
Not because of immigration.
Okay.
Just they're unhappy because they're a bunch of snowflakes.
Okay, all right.
But what I see is the naive views of the criminal dangers that, you know, it leads to lax legislation and enforcement. And that's happening in our country.
Okay.
It's people, you know, such as you that think that there's really not an issue with the immigrants coming in. And like I stated before, wait till they get organized. It took them 5 years in Finland to get totally organized over there. And the last 5 years have been hell for a lot of the residents over there now.
Well, I've never said that I'm not concerned. I've said that it's an issue that we need to deal with and we need to plan for and do what we can to just, I guess, make it not such a contentious thing. But I think that a lot of the rhetoric, I'll be honest, I think a lot of the rhetoric we're hearing is it's politics. It's political. I mean, here we had... we had a bill, a bipartisan bill, that was hammered out over months in Congress, and the party that's most concerned about immigration wouldn't even touch it. And so to me, that sounds like it's plain politics. It's not really concern about the border so much as wanting to have this be this red hot issue during the campaign.
Well, there's part of that. That's always going to be okay. no matter who's in the White House. There's always going to be those partisan issues.
I think we need to deal with this issue because there are human lives that are involved on both sides and well-being of people and communities. I think this is something that we do need to deal with, but it's not something that you can snap your fingers and say we'll build a wall. We'll close the border and it'll go away. It's not that it's not anywhere near that kind of simple thing.
Okay, now can you tell me out of the thousands who have entered the country illegally and why they need to do it illegally? What percentage are those? Do you think come here with ill intent?
I can't even tell you. And
no,
you know, the illegal is one thing. You know, the bottom line is that most of the immigrants who are here in the country have been contacted by Border Patrol or by Homeland Security. They claim asylum, and then our system is overwhelmed, so they can't have their case heard. So at this point, as I understand it, they are allowed to stay here in the United States until their case is heard. But
right, but what about all the one? What about all the ones the gotaways?
Well, there are those, sure, but I don't have any way to know what there's a percentage of good and bad. But I'm sure there are some who are bad. There are some.
We have a big influx from Venezuela right now.
Right,
and
it's a troubled country.
The guys that are coming up. There's a lot of gang members coming up here because
they
don't want to be arrested down there.
Well, okay. All right. Well, the numbers, the immigration numbers are in general are down. I guess I would see that as being sort of a positive. But we can go back and forth on immigration all day long, and I'm sure we will continue to do that. But all right. Let's go to – and how much of our nation's resources do we devote to this, and how much of our – just our consciousness do we devote to this? It's and there's been so much said about it. And then when the first action by Congress is being brought forward, the first in decades, it's just ignored. They're not taking it seriously. I guess I don't have to either. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. Let's go to Robert, and thanks for your call, Rod. Let's go to Robert in Bellingham. Hi, Robert.
Hello. I got a couple of things. One is it's sort of ironic that Masheed supports Trump, and Trump is a Republican if he's concerned about Gaza, because I think the Republicans would give Israel a blank check to do whatever they want in Gaza, whereas the Democrats and Biden is more concerned about wanting to have a ceasefire and a little more concerned about that.
Well, I guess that makes sense. Not that Biden is, throttling back our support for Israel. We're still supporting Israel. It's a difficult situation, though. I think Israel is an important ally of ours in that part of the world and just in general. But this operation in Gaza is just it's created this a nightmare for a humanitarian nightmare. I don't know how it can be called anything else, but
I think there's fault on both sides because Hamas is, you know, they're pretty bad too. But the other thing I was going to talk about is a while ago somebody called up. He was kind of confused as to why, like in World War II, we did carpet bombing, and now we seem to be more concerned about trying to have restraint and. Worrying more about civilian deaths. But I think what's happened is in modern times, ethics evolve, and war used to probably be more brutal back then. The ethics are changing. Like since World War II, when the United Nations formed, they're trying to form. So when a country conquer, invades another country like Russia invading Ukraine. They're trying to say that you shouldn't invade another country. In the old days, one country would invade another country, and if it won the war, the winner would keep the spoils. And an example of that is when the U.S. went to war with Mexico, and we got the American Southwest taken away from Mexico because of that. But now we're in modern times when those kind of brutality, like the Romans and all of that, conquering different countries, is looked down upon more. And with nuclear weapons and stuff, we really are trying to achieve a more peaceful, multicultural, tolerant world. But I think the fear is now is that we, because of return to traditional values and older religion intolerances and things like that in many parts of the world, that it's getting more brutal again, and we could be going back toward a more brutal time when there's less tolerance and more brutal warfare, kind of like going back to the Middle Ages or the Roman times or something. Hope that doesn't happen, but I think that's the fear, that modernity is slipping away and we're going to a more brutal time like we've had in the past.
Yeah. Well, at least in some areas of the world. Yeah, that's hard to deny. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate your thoughts. Quick break. We'll be back with more in just 2 minutes. We got Jim, Rich, and Michael, and hopefully we'll hear from you too here on KG Mike and X.
Hello, folks. This is Phil George. I'm an elder law and estate planning attorney here in Bellingham, and I would like to invite you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. right here on KGMI for the Aging Hour. If you have questions about Medicare, Medicaid, long-term care costs, probates, wills, trusts, or anything else that has to do with aging, this is the radio show for you. Studies show that more than 70% of estate plans fail when families need them the most. Join us every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. and we can show you how to set your family up for success.
You've got questions about your car or truck? And we have answers on KGMI's In the Shop. Dan from Bellingham Automotive, Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, and Kirk from Angler Automotive are here to help. And we have a great new way for you to get your questions or comments to them. Email them to intheshop@kgmi.com. Then listen each Saturday at 9 a.m. or check out the podcast at mybellinghamnow.com. Once again, that's intheshop@kgmi.com.
Lindale Glass is your premier window and door company in Whatcom and Skagit County. With over 35 years of professional installation experience, you can rely on the dedicated employees at Lindale Glass to provide an exceptional install. Lindale Glass features Milgard windows and doors, leading the industry with innovative, high-quality products. You can be assured of a product that is customized for your home. No shortcuts, no gimmicks, just excellent service and exceptional quality from Milgard. Visit a Lindale showroom to learn more or online at lindaleglass.com.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add AC to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Thanks for joining us here on this Monday. We go to Jim in Seattle. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Joe. How are you today?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, I did some research. I'm looking at this book again, the essays of Gore Vidal called United States. And I brought this up a few months ago. And I found out in this book, according to Gore Vidal, not unequivocally, but pretty close to certain, he thinks that there is no provision in the Constitution for the word for the executive order. And there, when he mentioned how when he found out about it, I think it was during Roosevelt's administration, the statistics were there was 11,489 or something pretty close to that executive orders issued. So he. He goes on slightly hyperbole, but still true, that we have a dictator. And I know we have a Congress and a Senate and all that and a judiciary, but Gore Vidal's not one to mince words. So in a sense, he says we have a dictator because there is the executive order, which there's no votes given in Congress for that or no obstruction for it. So I would like to respond a little bit to your caller. I think, let's see, what was his name from the guy talking about Sweden?
The executive orders, I don't know the whole history of them, but they can and have been challenged in court. And so that takes some of the sting of the dictatorship thing out. I mean, we do have some checks and balances, is what my point.
Well, I said it was kind of hyperbole, but it still is true, though. If you have an order, and we know how our country doesn't appeal to everyone in the judiciary either. There's a lot of people think that the election was still in run by Trump, and they're not getting off it, and they tried, they failed. Okay, so I'd like to move on. This is Gore. He says we should train people who prefer payment in honor rather than in money to go into government. England, France, Scandinavia attract bright people into government despite low salaries. This deeply disturbs the audience when he's on his Chautauqua Circuit speeches. First, you must never say that another country handles anything better than we do. Second, although the word honor makes no picture at all in the American head, money comes on as a flashing vivid green for go. And someone then says that socialist Sweden is a failure because everybody commits suicide, the logic behind being that a society without a poverty will be so boring that death is the only way out. And when I tell them that fewer Swedes commit suicide than Americans, and in parenthetics, we falsify statistics, they don't. They shake their heads. They know. Okay. So Sweden was one of the better countries. We are kind of an imperialist world with Europe kind of our allies, which means one last thing, if you get to give me a little extra time. Michael Prenti weighed in on this on one of his videos, the later one, where they talked about France, and France had the Charlie Hebdo, you know, the terrorism. Well, he took neither side. He says, don't get me to believe that I'm in for this jihad thing. But he also knew that the immigrants, the darker ones from North Africa, are there to lead miserable lives doing all the dirty work. And there's a lot of inequality in France. It was greater than us for a while here in the 70s and 80s, I believe. But he just said a mess because he didn't want to blame the dark-skinned people from Algeria or Morocco or wherever, French West Africa. But he didn't want to go along with him on the jihad where they were, you know, killing people. Maybe, probably not terrible, but on the subways and things like that. So those are my points, and I thank you for letting me call.
All right, Jim, thanks for your call. Let's go to Rich in Ferndale. Hi, Rich.
How's it going, Joe?
I'm doing all right.
That's good. I've been recovering from a cold along with many others. I noticed a couple weeks ago Michelle had an ongoing cold. You can hear it in people's voice when it's not quite right.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, hope you're feeling back to 100% soon.
It's hovering at 90% and it doesn't get better, but I guess that's how this thing works. Everybody else has had the same thing. You get mostly better, but you never totally get 100% over it for a while.
Yeah, when people have had like that nagging cough that sticks around.
Right, it just keeps going. So I've noticed a change in the last 6-8 months of your talking points and others about the border thing. You know, until we've seen local effects of, you know, refugees living in tents for a year, people staying in hotels, no one's paying them for it. It's been kind of out of sight, out of mind, and I do recall you saying a lot of times in the past that this isn't a big deal, it doesn't affect us here, but it is beginning to affect us here, and now you're saying that, oh, yeah, we should probably do something, and the previous caller brought up Finland, and that is very relevant. The 25% crime rate is from 25% of crime is from these immigrants. Because they started sooner than us and allowed everyone in longer and just let anybody come. And that is what will happen to us eventually if this continues and continues and continues. And it's interesting. Do we really need more laws? All we need to do is tell people you can't cross here because this isn't a border crossing. And you need to push them right to the border station, load them up in a van, go right to the border crossing and say, get in line.
Well, what this bill would have done would have dedicated billions to helping to control the situation at the border by adding judges, adding border patrol agents, adding to the whole infrastructure of being able to deal with the situation.
That is needed.
Yeah.
That is needed.
Well,
it's been needed for a long
time.
Why
didn't we do it? And if it wasn't, 100%, if it wasn't a perfect bill, well, it can always be improved upon. I mean, that's happened before.
The answer to that, Joe.
But instead, we deny it and don't even try. Well,
yeah, I'm trying to answer your question. The reason this didn't get passed is because the last minimum of 4 years, it has not been, the Democrats would not entertain this. Now, 3 years in, all of a sudden they're entertaining us. Now the Republicans are playing politics with it and saying, no, this is our idea. You're not getting credit for it. This is the visceral nature of politics. It's very bad. The people who go down the dirty road, it gets dirtier the next time and dirtier the next time. And now we have where we're suing a former president to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, where it's just breathtakingly like never happened in American history. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And as we get worse, these other problems will continue to get worse too. And there will be zero compromise because they're so mean to each other that they can never give an inch, not even anything.
Right.
And it started in the past and now it's getting worse. So, I mean, I understand why they didn't do it for politics. I don't think that that's right, but I don't think the previous 3 years were right either. So as wrong as it is, it's no more wrong than it was 3 or 4 years ago doing nothing.
Well,
but anyway,
I can appreciate that, Rich.
I was going to talk about the sailor kissing the...
Oh, yeah, the iconic photo. I brought that up at the beginning of the show for folks who just tuned in.
So is that all of a sudden... I didn't hear Dennis Prager. Is that like a bad thing now? Is there a movement?
Well, there was a commander, someone in within the Pentagon. Who was a higher rank, but wasn't the Joint Chiefs or the Secretary of the Army or whatever have you, but decided that, and I think it was more or less a unilateral action by this person or office that said, shows an inappropriate action or inappropriate activity, on someone, invading someone's personal space, their privacy, what have you, their person.
It wasn't a
photo that should be displayed in military facilities. And now, since then, that's been overruled, but. Well, but I mean, like I said at the beginning, I don't think that the photo itself should be banned or taken away. But I mean, do you display that in military facilities where, quite frankly,
yes.
I mean, well, sexual assault and sexual crime has been a huge issue that the military has been struggling with. And now, so this is, I mean, this was an assault. It could be called an assault on a person. Street,
only in today's
I'm walking down the street. I'm walking down the street. I get news that my side won the election, or dream job of my life.
Like
I can
that.
Grab a woman nearby and kiss her.
Joe,
I mean, what?
That is so out of context, Joe.
No,
you're missing the context.
It's not.
I need context is everything.
Okay.
You need to, now, can I say something? This is very important.
Okay.
The planet Earth just avoided Armageddon. This is unlike anything the Earth has ever seen since. That is the context for this. This was the reality that people are going to quit dying. We can get back to our normal life, and they're so happy they would kiss a stranger. And in those days, Joe, there wasn't the wokeisms and the sexual harassment, any of this. It was a kiss on the street. She appeared to like it, and it was an iconic sign of the time. The context is everything.
What if she didn't like it? I mean, what if we saw it with the picture?
Can't.
We see the picture. I mean, you're assuming that she liked it and thought it was great. But in this day and age, I'd think that would fly, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
And you know what? That's very bad that it wouldn't fly, Katie. That shows how warped reality is now. The celebration of life on the planet, that is, and that's, you know what?
Grabbing someone and kissing them on the mouth.
That's a big deal.
Well, okay. All right, Rich. That's what I threw out there. I knew I would be disagreed with by some, but... I'll leave it at that. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Michael in Linden before we take a break. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Joe. Boy, the antics we see with the celebration of Pride Month are certainly a lot more explicit than that iconic photo, I just got to say.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you go, if you go to a pride parade,
you sure would have.
I don't know that means people are there to be kissed. I suppose there are some who if I would see that as being wrong as well. Not being if you're just grabbing people on the street and kissing them, I'm
glad you said that, because Rod brought up an interesting point where if we look at everybody in the context of like a movie, if we would, and I've called before and said the same thing, would we look at it differently if Trump was doing the same thing? Would it be wrong? And I'm going to give a couple of examples here.
Okay.
Trump was really proud of his warp speed vaccine, right? We made a vaccine in 9 months. It didn't take 5 or 10 years like it normally does. And it's because of all these great things I did that we were able to get this vaccine in production and to the people in such a fast time.
Uh-huh.
Now, what if Trump started censoring people on social media that said, I took the vaccine, but I had a really bad experience. I became disabled, or I died, or I had a horrible thing happen to me. And if Trump said to Twitter or Facebook, hey, you can't let these people's stories out to the public. We need to censor them because we can't let this get out because I need my vaccine to be great. Or what if Trump mandated people take the vaccine? Like, you don't have a choice anymore. You know, if you're a first responder, you have to take the Trump shot, okay? And would they say he's a dictator? Would they say that he's anti-pro-choice, right? Now, what if Trump was importing a bunch of people from Russia, Ireland, and South Africa, 90% of them white, of course, across our borders, while ignoring the laws that were passed by Congress, ruling by executive order, flying these people all across the country into Democrat-controlled cities to hopefully turn them red, tried to propose legislation allowing these people to vote, having them live in our police stations, having them live in our airports, and then, to survive, these people are selling drugs and they're prostituting women on the streets and committing petty crimes across America.
Okay, this is,
would it be wrong if Trump was doing it?
That's quite the plot you're weaving here. I have not heard, I have not seen the reality there. I don't know how this relates to reality in any way, shape, or form there, Michael. I mean, to be honest with you.
The whole problem, I think the callers are trying to tell you, Joe, is that you don't.
All right. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. We'll take a quick break. We got Lou, we got Jack, we got Michelle, and we'll get to you. If we got time, we'll try here on KGMI Connects. Back in 2 minutes.
I look at the big picture. As a business owner, sometimes we get wrapped up on, I'm not going to lose money helping that customer. I'm not going to sit here and say that we satisfy everybody out in the community, but I can go to sleep happy every night knowing that we try really hard to satisfy as many people as we can. Knowing that the community has invested in us, when it comes time to invest in a customer, I have no problem. I have no problem saying, let's make it happen. I've had repairs that, big high tickets, and I see them the same as if it was $100, because at the end of the day, they trusted us. They gave us an opportunity, and we just can't look at it like, we're going to lose money in this particular customer. Well, no. Let's take care of them. Let's make sure they're happy.
Find new roads at BellinghamChevy.com.
A weekend ride on your street bike. Exploring the backcountry in your new side-by-side. Mountain biking on your favorite trails. Spring is here, and it's time for some high adrenaline fun. When it comes to outdoor play in the Northwest, nobody beats Mount Baker Motorsports in Bellingham. They have an extensive selection of new and used road bikes, dirt bikes, and ATVs, and side-by-sides for work and play, personal watercraft, and now featuring electric mountain bikes from Gas Gas and Husqvarna. Mount Baker Motorsports also offers excellent financing options, an extensive parts and accessories department, apparel for every riding season, and a service team for all repairs and upgrades to your current toys. Start your spring adventures with a visit to Mount Baker Baker Motorsports on the corner of Iowa and Woburn in Bellingham. Or check them out online at mountbakermoto.com. Mount Baker Motorsports, Whatcom County's premier power sports dealer featuring Arctic Cat, Kawasaki, KTM, CF Moto, Husqvarna, and Gas Gas.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
We go right to Lou in Linden. Hi, Lou.
Howdy, Joe. Yeah, you probably didn't get to hear Dennis Prager's show today. He made the stunning revelation on his show that Hamas has built over 400 miles of tunnels and spending over $1 billion to build those tunnels. And the money they get from that, of course, comes from Iran and Europe and America that donates millions and millions of dollars to Hamas, supposedly to help the people to build schools and whatnot. But instead, they used it to build their tunnels to wage war, to start to try to wipe out Israel and the Jewish people. And remarkably, well, I think what happened, Joe, is that Hamas jumped the gun. Hamas wanted Hezbollah and Iran to join them in this war of annihilation of Israel and the Jewish people. And Iran wasn't quite ready. They don't have atomic bombs yet to wipe out Haifa and Tel Aviv, which is their goal, with a nuclear weapon. And Hezbollah wasn't quite ready either. So Hamas now is in a very precarious position of having themselves wiped out, but they want to have the civilians under above them in their tunnels so that a maximum amount of innocent civilians will be killed to help turn world opinion against Israel. And that's what Dennis Prager discussed today, and I think he's spot-on accurate of the thinking of these vicious, evil people, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Iranian mullahs. And the people of Iran are the ones also suffering in this because they have to live under the mullahs of the Iranians. And these are death cults.
Well,
cults.
Well, Hamas is not no picnic. I agree. And Hamas, and I've said exactly that. I think Hamas carried out their attack with the intent to provoke Israel into exactly what it's doing and to turn world opinion further against the Israeli government. And so far, it seems that plot seems to be working. But as far as world opinion, and it's not, you know, Israel's continued war against this. And I guess the collective punishment they're meting out on the Palestinian people is not playing well on the world stage. And but I'm not lauding Hamas in any way, shape, or form. I think Hamas is awful. But at the same time, Hamas was the ruling power in Gaza. So if you're going to help the Palestinian people, any help would have to go through Hamas. But unfortunately, yeah, they spent a lot of their resources on exactly this, on war making and destructive efforts. So, thanks, Lou. I just have a few minutes, so I want to give Jack in Seattle a chance. Hi, Jack.
Hello there, sir. Hey, so we go to Sarasota every year to see my in-laws.
Okay.
And they built a statue of that kiss that you guys were talking about. It's pretty
okay.
cool. But that's not the reason why I wanted to talk to you today.
Okay.
I saw, well, first off, if you know me at all, Roadhouse, the first one, was Citizen Kane. It should be on the AFI's top 100 every year and number one.
Okay.
But so I saw the prequel, sequel, or whatever you call it.
The remake of Roadhouse?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So me and myself and Mrs. Independently Wealthy, we sat there and watched what they showed us on the television as opposed to going out.
Okay.
And we watched Roadhouse. And the reason why I wanted to see the first Roadhouse movie way back in the day was Jeff Healey was one of my favorite artists at the time. And this one, I sat there, I looked at a guy that was the house band, and I thought the guy was dead, but he's still alive. His name's Tommy McLean. He's a Louisiana swamp rocker.
Okay.
He just put out a...
This was in the original Patrick Swayze.
He's 84 Roadhouse. Years old. He's still okay. Got fantastic pipes.
Huh. Okay.
Yes. Tommy McLean. He had two gold records and half a dozen overdoses between those. So I mean, he was living the life.
Yeah, and lived into his 80s, huh? All right.
Yeah, he's 84 years old. Him and he looks great.
Wow. Huh.
He's got a big old. He wants to get. I guess when the rest of ZZ Top checks out, he's gonna. Do a tribute show or something. He's got a great beard going right now.
Nice. Right, Tommy McLean. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And how would you rate the new Roadhouse? I had some friends who saw it and said that it's a different story, or they've tweaked the story, or
they tweaked the story a little bit. It's the star of the show, he actually looks and acts like he could be a fighter. Got to see a little too much of Conor McGregor.
Oh yeah, Conor McGregor's in it.
And okay. He's just a caricature, however you say that.
Caricature,
you know?
Yeah.
Get back on the Lucky Charms box and shut the hell up. He'd probably kick my butt. But,
oh yeah, you know, yeah. Mine too, for sure. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it. Let's see, real quick. Let's go to Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Joe. Just want to say I appreciate your points about the iconic World War II photo. I first saw that as a history student in high school. And, of course, my father was going to help command the invasion of Japan, and his life may have been saved by the dropping of the A-bombs. He'd married my mom at the end of July, and she didn't know if she'd ever see him again when he went off to help coordinate that invasion. And all I can say is that World War II, I had fought off several perverts in my life by that time, and I wouldn't have wanted a guy out of the blue grabbing me and kissing me, but which happened a few times, but I fought him off. My dad taught me martial arts. But the thing is that when you're talking about context, World War II affected virtually every citizen in America, and when it ended, my mother grabbed a guy and kissed him out of just sheer joy, not on the mouth, I will say that, but just out of sheer joy, a hug, a kiss, you know, and she said, oh, my God, I'm going to see him. And, you know, it was, he had to wait six more months because he still was coordinating the occupation, but the point is that the context of this, I'm not saying you're wrong, but people should not judge something that happened, you know, so many years ago by modern standards. And I'd be the first to say it should never happen today. But the thing is, the end of World War II was the most joyful day in the history of America. And that's it for now.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. I'm sure that the moment was incredibly joyous and celebratory, but still, and I guess this not that the picture should go away, but should it hang in military facilities where young people would be seeing it and getting the message that that's how you react when you win a war? Well, some thoughts, and thanks for all your thoughts. We'll be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
From Mount Baker to Bellingham Bay and beyond, KGMI and KISM HD2 Bellingham. From the West Mechanical Studio.